Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary. This solemnity is one of six holy days of obligation that we normally have on the liturgical calendar. But since this year it falls on a Sunday, the readings of the solemnity replaced the normal readings that we would have on the 20th Sunday of ordinary time. Mary's assumption into heaven is a sign of great generosity and love that God has for all of us. It, not only for the Blessed Virgin Mary, but through her to all of us. This assumption, though taught and believed back to the very earliest centuries, was only formally proclaimed a dogma of the church relatively recently. In 1950, after broad consultation with bishops, with theologians, and with the laity, Pope Pius XII defined the church's long-held belief in the Assumption of Mary by this very simple declaration. He said, "We pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul to heavenly glory." This proclamation of the Assumption by Pope Pius XII doesn't specify whether or not Mary died before she was assumed or whether she was assumed without death. And there are theologians on both sides of that question. But what we know for sure is that out of his great love for his mother Mary, and in recognition of the very body that bore him, God did not permit Mary to undergo corruption. Instead, upon the end of her mission here on earth, God assumed Mary bodily into heaven. This amazing mystery, this gift of God, is something that those who regularly pray the rosary and meditate on every time they say the fourth glorious mystery. It's a great gift given by Christ to his mother, but it is also a foretaste for all of us of the merciful and loving plan that God has for each of us to be reunited with our bodies and glorified and enter his very presence in heaven, where we're intended to live forever. That's what God wants for us. That's God's plan for us. Today, as we ponder this wonderful gift, this sign of love, and what it means for us, I invite you to meditate on the question, who is Mary to me? Some of the thoughts that I have when I think about that question. Well, first of all, Mary is unique in all of creation. She shares the most intimate relationship of anyone with each of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. First, she is the perfect, sinless daughter of God the Father. She was preserved from sin by the merits of Christ on the cross, projected backwards into the time, in time to the very moment of her conception. She is the mother of the Son, carrying him in her body. Think of it, the God of the universe, the God who made all of this, everything we see. That very God allowed himself to be completely dependent on this creature of his. How amazing. And she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, joyfully giving her fiat, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Mary's also the Ark of the New Covenant. In our first reading from Revelations, we hear that right before we see that woman clothed with the sun, with the moon at her feet and the crown of stars on her head, we hear that God's temple in heaven was opened and the Ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. Now, this would have been amazing to the first century Jewish audience who first read this reading, because at that time the Ark had been lost for nearly 1,000 years. And the Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred object to the ancient Israelites. It held three things. First, it held the tablets of the law on which God wrote the Ten Commandments with his very finger. Second, it held the staff of Aaron, representing God's authority to teach and to lead. And third, it held manna, that miraculous food from heaven, representing God's providence and leading his people through the desert to the promised land. Law, authority, and providence. Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant because she carried Jesus within her. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Jesus teaches and guides us by the ultimate authority of God himself. And Jesus is the new and everlasting manna, that bread from heaven that we can receive right here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, at St. Pius X Church every Sunday. God himself coming to us to give us that spiritual food that we need to lead us through the desert of life to that eternal promised land that God wants for all of us in heaven. It's also worth noting that the Ark of the Covenant wasn't just a sacred artifact that the Israelites just used in their prayer, but it was a weapon of war. They carried it in front of their armies, and it said that in front of the Ark, the enemy would fall down and flee in terror. Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. She's not just somebody quietly sitting in heaven knitting. She's a weapon that God gives to us to fight our spiritual battles. When we invoke Mary's intercession, demons and the powers of evil flee in front of us. You know, all of those trials and those difficulties and those struggles and that sinfulness that we deal with in life, Mary is meant to be that weapon that we can carry in front of us in our spiritual life. That's why there's no more powerful weapon that we can use in our spiritual life than to pray the rosary. I have mine here. It's one that I try to pray daily. And I've had it since I was 8 years old, and you can see, you probably can't see, but the beads right now are mostly white. At one time, they were all black, right? But that's what happens when you use that weapon of war, right? And God works in your life. And I can't tell you how many benefits that I've received through that simple praying the rosary and meditating on the life of Christ. Mary's also the new Eve. In Genesis, through Eve, sin entered into the world. Through Mary, Jesus, our forgiveness and our salvation entered into the world. Mary is the woman prophesied in Genesis, where it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." She's the very greatest work of all of God's creation. She's more beautiful than the most beautiful sunset. She is more majestic than the most majestic mountain. Because what could possibly be more beautiful and more majestic than a human being created in the very image and likeness of God, completely unstained by sin? She lived her entire life here on earth and now in heaven for God. Mary is the surest and shortest path to Jesus. It is through Mary that Jesus came into the world to be near us. And it is through Mary that Jesus invites us to come to be near him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, after the betrayal of all the apostles scattered, and none of them showed up at the cross except for John, who went to Mary. And if you go to Mary daily, she will always bring you back to Christ. And perhaps most dear to me personally, Mary is my spiritual mother. From the foot of the cross, Jesus looked at Mary and the disciple whom Jesus loved and said, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Through this pronouncement, the early fathers taught that Jesus not only gave Mary to John as mother, but to the whole church, to all of us here today. Because in truth, don't we all strive to be disciples of Jesus? And doesn't Jesus show his love to all of us? So in a sense, we're all the disciple whom Jesus loved. And to the extent that we are Jesus' disciples, we are children of Mary. And to the extent that we are children of Mary, We must be disciples of Jesus. So who is Mary to me? She's my mother, pure and simple. And I'm proud to be a mama's boy. So who is Mary to you?